Couple of things. First of all, you know, when I was spending some time just thinking, and that doesn't happen often, but one of the things I thought about for us tonight was the word that the Lord was impressing on me, and I think for maybe some of you, is that so many times we spend time focusing on what's broken in our lives, what needs to be fixed. And that can become overwhelming. And I think what I was seeing in the scripture was to see what it is that is working in our lives and do more of it. What it is that God's gifted us with, what it is that we're good at, and look to do more of that. You know, we have this desire to be accomplish things. And certainly if we're working at the things that God's gifted us and the things that we have passion for, we're going to achieve much more results than spending so much of our time and focused on what's broken in our lives and trusting that there's areas of our brokenness that God's just going to fix as we surrender it over to Him. So as we go to Him tonight and in both in the message and in worship, let's do that. Pete, I said, is going to be speaking this weekend, talking about turning water into wine. I mean, the scriptural reference, not how you can do that. But tonight, introduce our guest. I don't even want to call him a guest because he's family and he's back. And we have this opportunity to have him come and share what God's been speaking to his heart. So please welcome with me Matt Whitlock.
Thanks, Greg. Oh, I feel like every time I come here, I can like just breathe. Oh, it's like coming home. I so enjoy coming back here. Am I on? Can you hear me okay? Yeah, you're like, can you actually calm down a little bit, please? It is, you know, midweek and we're tired and Friday's almost here. I'm pretty excited to be here. My name's Matt Whitlock, if you don't know me. I worked here for a number of years. Currently doing some different projects that involved a lot of international stuff. We're seeing a big movement online for people wanting to know about the gospel, and we're providing it to them there, and then we're seeing them all wanting to connect on the ground. So we're kind of like party throwers. We throw these parties around the world and connect these people that have found God online to people on the ground, churches, church planters, all that kind of stuff. So I spend a lot of my time traveling. If you don't know, my wonderful wife, Mina, who's not here with me, we've been married for a few years, two wonderful children. My son, Xander, is one. He looks like he's five because he's so humongous. It might be because of the poi we feed him in Hawaii, where I live right now. We'll talk about that in a second. I didn't spray tan before I got here. My daughter's coming up on three, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about them and kind of some of the stuff that they're teaching me now. So I'm a young parent. Well, I clarify that. I'm young and having kids. I'm not actually a young parent. I feel like I'm actually pretty old right now. But I'm learning a lot right now, and I'm learning a lot through them. This stuff they're teaching me is pretty fascinating. So I do actually live in Hawaii. I've been there for the last couple years and spent about a decade of my life there previously. Don't judge me, please, for that. It's actually a strategic location, not because there's beaches and turtles and dolphins, okay? but because we do a lot of work in Asia. So Hawaii is a great kind of east meets west location. So we work with a lot of university students coming out of the west. We connect them with university students coming out of the east, and then we kind of do stuff around the world together. So that's why I'm currently living in Hawaii. And my time at Capo, a lot of stuff that you guys give to here connects with us there. And so everything we're doing, you're all a part of it, whether you know the depth of detail or not. So we are only able to do the things that my wife and I are able to do because of all of you and your activity here at Cal Beach Calvary. So my wife and I thank you for that. it's interesting. Craig talked about this thing just now about focusing on our strengths. And I've been thinking a lot about that because a big term that's going around a lot right now is this whole idea of sustainable energy, sustainable environment, sustainable ozone, sustainable business. Everything's about what's sustainable healthcare, what's sustainable in this situation in society right now that seems completely non-sustainable. It's up and down and left and right. And so I've been spending a lot of the last year probably reading and studying about how my faith can become sustainable, how my faith can become solid, how I can experience God at times in gathering with others, maybe at different locations where God might seem to be moving in a different way, but how I can just have a consistent, sustainable relationship with God. And it's funny because we talk about Christianity as if we get it all figured out the moment we step into it, right? Or like as though we're supposed to. And we even use the terminology like, oh, those are my BC days, you know, before Christ days. Like everything's going to work out now after Christ, right? And then we come into more problems like, wait, that's not supposed to happen. And the reality is that when you have kids coming to a talent show to practice, they don't all sound very good. And some of you parents know that, right? Like when your son or daughter came home and said, I want to play the clarinet. And you're like, oh my gosh, there's no way the clarinet is supposed to sound that bad. But it does. And then Billy is calling from across the street, like, can you tell your son to stop blowing in that thing or screeching his nails in the wall? You're like, no, he's practicing for band. He's playing the clarinet. And you're like, that doesn't sound like the clarinet. Trust me, it's the clarinet, you know? And you guys will experience all that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, come to the talent show. I'm sure you'll catch a lot of that when you're here. Not that our kids don't have talent. But it's like with kids, we understand that it takes practice. We understand that like when they pick up the clarinet, it's going to sound horrible. And if it sounds good, then you probably have a mini Tiger Woods on your hand and you should do something about that. But it's probably going to sound really bad. Or the first time they get their drum set, it's going to sound like a lot of racket. Okay, but we have grace for it, right? Because they're kids and they're just learning and growing. Well, how is it any different in practicing our relationship with God? How is it any different in when we first come into faith, we get this clarinet and he knows we're not going to play it very well. And we might only find one note that we can play really well, or maybe two, and we just keep playing them back and forth, back and forth. We're like, that sounds really good. We just, I'm so good. You know, we just keep it going. And like any parent, they're able to look at their child, look beyond the annoyingness of the noise and go, look how amazing my kid is. Then you got those parents that are really excited about their kid, even though like the kid's really bad. And they're like, you're over for dinner, like, oh, come on, Matt. You got to see my, I have a friend did this. You got to see my, you know, son Samson. He's like an amazing musician. He's only like 5. And I'm like, oh, wait, no way, really? And I show him. And he's like, go, son, play. And the kid's like, and he's like, isn't it sound amazing? And I'm like, is this guy, something wrong with this guy? Like, do you have too much salt water in your ears? Have we been like surfing too much lately? But to him, to his son, seeing his son work at this with all of his might, with everything he has in him, even though it sounds completely horrible, it brings such joy to his heart. Well, it's the same thing with God. It's like we need to call church practice room of Christianity because this is where we're practicing. We're probably never going to play it as good as we could play it until we're home with the Father because we're always going to be playing it in this broken world. So our instruments are almost already broken at the start, right? So it's this constant practice. So I've been thinking about this constant practice, sustainable faith, and sustaining my relationship with God. And we wrestle with this because we deal with a lot of, for instance, we train a lot of underground church workers from China. And they want to come to our university. This is a Christian university. They want to get trained. And what happens a lot of times is they so love what we're doing because we've had so much practice at it, they want to stay there. But then that defeats the purpose of what we're supposed to be sending them back to. So we're constantly thinking, how do we not create the need for them to stay here, but how do we consistently pass it off so they understand that it's sustainable and they can take it wherever they want to go? And so I've been spending a lot of time with this. And recently, I started thinking about the idea of God traveling. Now, sometimes I get hung up on words, you know, meaning like, you know, well, I won't go into some of them because it might not sound very good. But anyways, sometimes I get hung up on words and I get hung up on semantics of different things. And sometimes it's kind of discouraging when, even though I like it, when I sing a song about God, come now, come here, Lord, fall on me. And now I understand the heart attitude is we want to connect with God. That's good. Okay. That's me. That's good. But then I start thinking, but isn't God already here? Does he have to travel? Is he too busy somewhere else like me that he has to try to get everything off his schedule to come and be here with me? Does that make him God or does that make him more like me? And then I realized, well, I'm making God more like me. instead of realizing he's actually not a lot like me because he's God. And he can actually be here and be all things to me right in this very moment. My daughter, she just got potty trained. And we were really excited because we were finally getting the chance to save money in diapers. And if you live in Hawaii, everything's super expensive there. So like, it sounds stupid. Oh, what, diapers don't cost much? No, they're like gold, okay? So we're finally getting her potty trained, and we're really trying to encourage her. And she's got this killer sweet tooth. So I get this bright idea. I'm like, well, let's just feed her candy every time she goes to the bathroom. Well, it got to the point where she was really forcing herself to go pee in the toilet, you know? So then I'm like, okay, no more number one treats, okay? Only number two. Well, then you can imagine what she's doing with number two, right? So eventually I'm like, okay, maybe this isn't doing such a good deal because she won't be wearing diapers, but now my dentist bills are going to be outrageous. You know, we probably should just stay with this. So we go to finally, we just resort to stickers, okay? Stickers, man, you'd be surprised those things get stuck, huh? I mean, I just find them in the weirdest places, especially after laundry's being done. Anyways, so the other night, this is just two nights before I flew. I just flew in from Hawaii today, so just maybe last night, maybe. Yeah, it was last night. We did our thing. She goes into the room. It's time to pick her sticker out. I go away. I'm wondering what's taking her so long. So I come running back in the room, and I'm like, Sayla, what are you doing? And she's like, now, in her mind, the living room is her house, okay? So nothing else of the house is anyone else's, is her house, just the living room. So I come in, I'm like, Sayla, what are you doing? She goes, Daddy, go my house. And I'm like, no, I'm in here. Daddy, go my house. And she wants me to leave because she knows that in my presence, she can't do what she wants to do, which is put stickers all over herself, okay? Because she's only supposed to get one sticker, right? So she's like, Daddy, go my house. And isn't that funny? Because it's kind of like what we do with God. It's like we want him here. We want something, but then when we're doing something we don't want him, it's like, Daddy, go my house. That, God, just go over there. Just turn your eyes over there. And then when I sing the song, then you come back. But then when I'm not, then you just go back over there. And this is what we do with God. Well, the reality is, God is always here. When Christ said, the kingdom of God is at hand, he didn't say the kingdom of God is afar away. He didn't say the kingdom of God is at your neighbor's. He didn't say the kingdom of God is in this country. He said the kingdom of God is at hand. And he didn't say just the money of the kingdom of God. He didn't just say just the people of the kingdom of God. He didn't just say just the buildings of the kingdom of God. He said the entirety of the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here in this moment for all of it, for everyone. Now, this is interesting. Because I was thinking, well, if what's sustainable, then, you know, what's real about God? And then I started thinking about my past and the different experiences I've had with God. And I started thinking about my future and where I think I need to be with God. And then I realized, you know what? My past is no longer real and my future is not yet to come, so that's not real either. The only thing that's completely real right now is right now. This very moment. Us sitting here, me standing on stage, you sitting in those chairs, this is the realest you're going to get. This is it. We can't worry about tomorrow. We already know Jesus says about that in the book of Matthew, let tomorrow worry about itself. We don't need to spend our time looking at our past because it's our past. It's behind us now. Right here, right now, is the realest thing you're going to have. The feeling in your fingers, the garlic breath from the burrito you ate before you came over here. The things you're personally going through right now. In this moment right now, what we're in right now, is the realest we're going to get. And Paul says, in him is everything. It's where I move, it's where I remain, it's where I breathe. And is that later? Is that at some far off location? Is that from a time in our past, or is that all right now? The reality is, the amazing thing about God is that he gave the kingdom in its entirety to us right now. Regardless of where you feel you're at in your heart, regardless of where you feel like you're at in your mind, regardless of whatever tragedies happening in your relationships, whatever things you feel like you're doing right, whatever things you feel like you're doing wrong, it doesn't take away from the fact that the kingdom of God is here right now. So the question is, Are we awake to that? Do we realize that it's available to us at any given moment? Paul says to pray without ceasing. That's always confused me. I'm like, I don't have time. I got to eat cereal in the morning. I got to drink coffee. How do I pray without ceasing? It's not a matter of a physical thing. It's almost more taking our thoughts captive and the realization that God is in and amongst us in every moment of every day. But are we awake to that? Do we think, wow, sitting in these chairs, it's almost like sitting in the hand of God. I'm sitting in something that man's created, God's created man. I'm like, we're just surrounded in God. He's all around us. He's working. He's doing things. He's active in every single person's life in the most intricate details. And that almost confuses us. Well, and it should, because only an infinite God could do something like that. And we're constantly trying to put him in our finite box. We're constantly trying to define him in our finite terms. We're constantly trying to put our vocabulary on this God that exists outside of our vocabulary. Yet so in the details of our vocabulary, we're still discovering him in the deepest senses of biology and nanotechnology. See, God is with us and in us and all around us. And that is not dependent on how you're doing today, how you feel today. It's not dependent on what you've done today, what positive things you've done, what negative things you've done. It's all here right now. But are we awake to it? Are we waking ourselves up to it? Are we taking time in the morning as soon as we open our eyes to be mindful that God is all around and involved in us right at that moment? Is he maybe consistently trying to give you the answer that you're praying for, but because you think it needs to be found in this one small category, you're not receiving it? Yet he's like screaming it at you because you're not awake to it. Because you're not wide open to what God's doing all around you, wanting to do in you, wanting to do with the people around you. But because we've, in our language, put him in this far off place, because we've said, Daddy, go to your house. Because we've said, you don't want to hear my music because it sounds so bad. So when my music's good and I practice enough, then you can come and sit and hear my music. You know, when my daughters, I have two daughters and a son, and I remember clear as day the moment that my oldest daughter turned to me and said, Daddy, I love you. First time. It was out of the blue. She was sitting at the counter up on the step stool with her grandma trying to bake blueberry muffins. I'll never forget it. I'm sitting on the couch in the other room looking at her. And in the moment she gets the realization that I'm with her, it's like everything clicked for her in her life up to that point. And she turned to me and goes, Daddy, I love you. And it just rocked me. I'll never forget it. My middle daughter, she's just about to turn 3. About 6 months ago, we're sitting on the couch watching, I think it was Tangled. And she's fully engrossed in this show. She's, you know, wrapped up in her stuff, eating her snacks. And in a moment, the realization of everything happened. She looks at me and she goes, Daddy, I love you. And it rocked me. Because in a moment, she all of a sudden was aware. She became awake to my involvement in her life up to that point. And now she knew the words, 3 small words to express that to me. I would have bought her a Ferrari. I would have like given her shopping cards. I would have flown her anywhere in the world in that moment. But see, that's like what it is with God when we wake up to the reality that he's in our presence all the time. That he's always there. He's not traveling to come get you. He's not, even when we tell him to go to his house, he doesn't go, he can't go to his house because he's already in your house. He's within, he's everywhere, he's all things. And as hard as that is to grasp, we just have to realize that's what makes him God and makes us us. And that's what makes so great what he did for us. But when we become awake to the presence of God and we realize that it takes practice, that's all that God requires of us. All he requires from us is to receive from him. And why is it so hard to do? It's so difficult to realize that all he wants from us is just to accept him, to accept all the great things. Yet we control and we hold on and we put him in our boxes and we put him in language and we section him off and we think he's in this one area, so we only go there once a week to like be in his presence. Then we're gone and we're separate from that. When the reality is we're just tricking ourselves because he's around us all day, every day. I think it's so fascinating in scripture that God chooses to breathe life into man. Why didn't he just pump life into him? Why didn't he just pour blood into his veins? Or why does it say he breathed life into him? Because I think God wanted it so clear to us that our very breath is a signal that God's fully involved in our lives. That every moment that you breathe is a sign of God involved in your life. Because you're breathing his air. You're breathing his breath. And his breath is what sustains you. You can go without water for quite a while. You can go without water for a while. Someone's cell phone, if you guys are here. You can go without water for a while. You can even go without food for quite a while. You can't go without breath for very long. It's like that X factor. When it's gone, you're gone. And yet the scripture says that God breathed his breath, breathed life into man. So next time you're sitting around worrying about your past, stressing about your future, just stop and pay attention to your breath and realize, God's in me. God's all around me. God's active in everything that I'm in, everywhere I'm at. And maybe I'm just pushing him into his house. Maybe I'm shoving him over into the corner because my sound isn't good enough yet. I haven't taken enough time to practice. My life isn't in order enough yet. I haven't behaved well enough yet for him to really let me belong with him. And scripture says, that's why I said in my word that before the foundations of the earth, you were formed. That's why I said before any of this earth went down the tubes, before Adam and Eve had their thing in the garden, before anything even happened, before I even started thinking of putting any of it together, I already accepted you and loved you. And you're not surprising me with your relationships, with your outbreaks, with the stuff you go through. It doesn't shock me. Just be mindful that I'm around you at all times and that I want to be involved in your life. That I want, just be awake to my spirit in everything that you're doing. Stop for a minute and just breathe and realize you're breathing my breath. And then I gave that to you so that in the moments of despair, in the moments of trauma, in the moments of difficultness, even in the times of victory and success, that you'd never forget that I'm the very essence that you live on. Because your very breath is from me. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you that you've done so much for us. And you're doing so much for us all the time, consistently, all around us. Lord, I ask that you would help us become awake to you. That in this very moment, we'd realize that, you know what? What's real right now is that we're sitting in this room. We're sitting on these chairs. Our future hasn't happened yet. Our past is already behind us. But we're in this moment right now, and you want us to be able to have your entire kingdom right now. Everything that comes with it, its economy of grace, its function of mercy, its forgiveness, its love, its healing power, all of it right now, you've said it's at hand. So Lord, in this moment, we just breathe it in. We just take it in, Lord. We're practicing all day long. And you want us, that's good, you want us to practice, but Lord, it's not to earn things from you because we already have everything we could have ever wanted. Now we just get to learn how to walk in it. Now we just get to learn how it benefits us, how it changes our life, how it changes our relationships, how it creates new creations. Father, let tonight be a night that marks us to say every day from this point on, we will remain awake to you in every aspect of our life. Amen.